Are you married to Christ? Before we delve into this subject, let us bow our knees before our Maker and pray. Dear God, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you made a beautiful plan of salvation, a marriage plan between you and the human race through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that through Christ we are closer to you than before the fall, that we are your bride, that we are going to travel with the Lord wherever he goes throughout eternity. Oh Lord, help us to enter into this marriage plan with Jesus. Have none of the listeners to this tape to miss that. Thank you that you will speak to us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Dear friends, the first place in this universe belongs to God. The first place in every man's life also belongs to God. Sooner or later, every man or woman must decide for himself or herself whether he permits God to take first place in his heart. This is true religion. This is the basis for salvation. Until you have made the right decision on this question, there is no personal redemption and no spiritual growth. God creates the new man for himself. He creates him to live together with him throughout eternity. Would you turn with me to Romans 7 and there 2-6. Romans 7, 2-6. And this time I'm reading from the New King James Version, the revised one. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the passions of sin which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. In other words, we now belong to another husband, not to Satan, but to Jesus Christ. Moment by moment we receive power from him to live a supernatural life. God lives in heaven, the Bible says, Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity in heaven, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. But God also lives in the believer. In the same verse, I dwell in the high and holy place and also with in him who is of a contrite and humble spirit. Yes, God dwells in man also, if we permit it, if we permit it. Colossians 1:27 says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are holding to your faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Sin has separated us from God forever. But the plan of redemption, the cross, made it possible for us to return to God. Christ's sacrifice on the cross unites us with God in such an intimate way as if we had never sinned. This divine plan of salvation is all-inclusive. It spreads itself over our soul, over our mind, over our body and embraces our whole life as long as we live. This excellent plan of salvation includes the call of God, justification, the new birth, sanctification, glorification of the redeemed men and women, and even sitting with him on his throne. When a man falls in love with a girl and they decide to become engaged, immediately drastic changes take place in their lives. The young man separates himself from his other girlfriends and from any activities which disturb the love relationship with his bride. He makes every effort to adapt himself to his fiancée. Then finally comes the great day, the wedding. As they stand before the minister and a church filled with relatives and friends, they express publicly their inward love and surrender. They let the whole world around them know that their hearts and lives are united forever. And dear friends, this is exactly what happens when a person discovers God's love through Jesus Christ. An intimate romance begins between God and man. 2 Corinthians 11:2. I have betrothed you to one husband to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Ephesians 5:31 and 32. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is very great, but I speak concerning the relation of Christ and the church, Paul adds here. This wonderful love relationship between God and man, this engagement, this marriage, is expressed in baptism. As two lovers learn to know each other during the time of courtship and engagement, in preparation for the marriage, so the lover of Christ carefully prepares his soul and life for baptism. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19 and 20, "Go then and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you to the very close of the age." Or take John 3:5. Jesus said, "I assure you, except a man be born of water," that's your baptism when you go under the water, "and even the Spirit," that's your resurrection when you get out of the water, "he cannot ever enter the kingdom of God." Mark 16:16, "He who believes what? In the gospel and in Christ, and is baptized will be saved." Saved from what? From the penalty of eternal death. Since a sinful human being wishes to become united with a pure God, it is obvious that he must first go through a complete spiritual and moral cleansing process. He must be born a second time. Without this new birth, he cannot observe everything Christ commanded. One thing that happens at a new birth is you're willing to die to self. 1 Corinthians 15:36. Every time you plant seed, you sow something that does not come to life unless it dies first. We die to our old nature. Secondly, we become a new creation through a resurrection. Ephesians 2:1, "And you he made alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins." Then this must happen before baptism. In baptism, you declare to all who are watching that you have died to self, that you become alive in Christ, that you've been cleansed by the blood of Christ, that you have been justified, accepted by him, adopted in the very family of God, born again, and that you've received the Holy Spirit. Read with me Romans 6:3-8, please. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, we are baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin, meaning from the power of sin. For now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus Christ went through the same experience. He died symbolically to self in the water baptism in the Jordan River, when John the Baptist baptized him. And he died also on the cross. And the person who becomes the bride of Jesus must go through the same experience. Only through immersion can this great experience be properly symbolized. No other way of baptism does it. Dear friend, this marriage with Christ is the most holy contract or covenant on earth. It is binding forever. Oh, how generous, how gracious, how condescending is God that he is willing to make an agreement with fallen, sinful people when he knows ahead of time that we are not able to keep the different conditions of the covenant. God goes to the extreme and says, I will keep every condition of the agreement you made with me. Just permit me to live in you. If you choose to give me your will, I will do all the rest. I will keep all my commandments in you. It's not sin that makes us Christians stumble. It's the fact that we do not daily choose Christ to live his life in us. And how? By giving him time every day, by contemplating him in the scripture, his prophetic books, the books of the spirit of prophecy, through prayer, meditation. We don't daily choose him that way. We look to ourselves, to our own strength, or we look to other people rather than to Christ. Now look here, the excuse, I can't stop doing such and such a sinful habit, really means I don't want to stop doing such a habit. Baptism, marriage with Jesus, is a two-way street. Man says to Jesus, I give myself to you, Lord. I permit you to shape my innermost being, my character, my faith, my life. And Jesus says to man, and I promise you that I will help you in all your circumstances. I make you happy on earth. I will resurrect you at my coming, and I will take you to my everlasting kingdom. I think we ought to read something here, and we ought to turn to Ephesians 3:16 and 17. That's beautiful. 16 and 17. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Well, let's go on. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that beautiful? And then he adds, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Oh, what words. Imagine, filled with the fullness of God. Now these are the conditions of the new covenant. Amazing. And then I think we ought to go back to Ezekiel. Turn to Ezekiel 36. And there, take 26, where God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Friend, do you have a new heart? Has he given you a new heart because you allowed him to? Take Hebrews 8:10. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh, dear friend, as a fish can only live in water, and as people like you and me can only live in air, likewise, the child of God can only live his new life through the Holy Spirit. There is no other way to live the Christian life. Living in the Holy Spirit is living in the atmosphere of heaven. That's why Jesus said, dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. I'm reading from John 15, 4, 5. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears abundant fruit. However, apart from me, you can do nothing. Oh, dear Christian friend, every new sin that you commit is a violation of the contract you made with Jesus Christ. But his blood will cleanse you again and again from your unintentional sins if you confess them, repent of them with tears and agony, and from promise to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to stop ever committing that sin again. Because there is complete victory. You and I do not have to live in any specific sin forever. No way. I knew a lady who knew Jesus and his teachings, but for years she held back and refused to be baptized. One day she told me, you know, Emilio, I love Jesus, but I just can't follow him right now. Why? I asked her. Well, because I still love a certain pleasure of sin, of the flesh. I don't want to go into details, but I just don't want to give it up. She bowed her head in shame. I said to her, is this true love? Is this true love for Jesus? Tell me, what would a good wife say to her husband if he made the following proposition to her? Darling, I love you. Oh, yes. But I also have a deep love for three other women whom I knew when I was still single. And occasionally, I want to spend some time with them. And you simply must bear with me. No. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Matthew 6:24. Yes, God is very faithful. He keeps his part of the covenant. Deuteronomy 7:9. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God, he is the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love and mercy with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. But I'll warn you, my dear Christian friend, that God is also a jealous God. He does not like to share our heart with somebody else. He despises spiritual unfaithfulness, spiritual fornication. Now, he's willing to help his beloved ones. He would rather send all his angels to your rescue rather than to abandon his most feeble follower. In Hebrews 2:16 we read, for, as we all know, Christ did not take hold of angels, meaning the fallen angels, to give them a helping and delivering hand, but he did take hold of the fallen descendants of Abraham to reach them. What an unusual, unheard thing. God and man stand united before a surprised universe. He has not chosen unfallen beings, but fallen, demonic, morally and mentally ruined men and women who once were sealed for second death, and he makes them his bride, not unfallen beings. Well, there are parallels in life. Tell me, who receives the greatest attention in our hospitals? Those on the critical list. Those close to death. They receive day and night nurses' help and assistance and care. The doctors watch over them with utmost care and attention. The best medicines are given to them. Or take the prodigal son. He received the greatest demonstration of love from his father, not the one who stayed home. I tell you, there is no fairy tale that can compete with this kind of a love story. Imagine a king marrying a poor peasant girl. That's all we are. Now, this is the essence and aim of Christianity. Many are afraid of this love relationship with God. They're afraid it is too much, too beautiful, going too far, that it's not real, that it just can't happen. Nonsense. All who dare to enter into this intimate relationship with Christ experience its reality in their own lives. I have. John 1:12-13, but as many as welcome Jesus Christ and receive him, he gives the privilege to become the children of God, who owe their birth neither to blood, nor to the physical impulse, nor to the will of natural father, but to God. They are born of God. Or Deuteronomy 29:10-15. All of you stand today before the Lord your God, that you may enter into the covenant, that's the agreement, the marriage of the Lord your God, and into his oath, which he makes with you today. It's not with you only that I make this sworn covenant, but with future generations who do not stand with us today before the Lord our God. Here the Lord is saying, my covenant reaches out to the people living in the last days of human history. To all of you in New York and Los Angeles, not to those only I was speaking to in Israel thousands of years ago. Jesus said the same thing in John 17:17. Father, sanctify them, separate them for yourself, make them holy by thy truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And so far, and so for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. Neither for these alone do I pray, Jesus adds. It's not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe in me through their word. Yes, Jesus here was reaching down through the ages to us today, even those living in the time of the end of the world. In John 17:21, so that they all may be one. Millions of believers in Old Testament times, plus millions of believers in New Testament times, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was met by Gabriel, the angel. We read in Luke 1:30-31, and the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace with God. And listen, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And in verse 34 and 35, and Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I have no husband? Then the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. 38, then Mary said, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the things that was spoken to her from the Lord. Oh, friends, are you like Mary? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to overshadow you? Are you allowing the power of the Most High to come upon you? Do you also believe that there will be a fulfillment of all things that were spoken to you by the Lord in your life? I hope you have made this decision to get married to Christ. I hope that you have been baptized, or maybe rebaptized if you have strayed away from the Lord. And apparently there must be millions of Christians, yes, Seventh Adventists, who have made shipwreck of their lives, have gone back to the world, back to loving sin. You need to come back. You need to repent and forsake those sins and come to Jesus and say, I want to be married again to you, Lord. I am sorry I wandered away from you. I'm sorry I ran away from you. I forsook you. And you go with your minister into the water and die to self for good now. And resurrect in a new life for good now. And then come to heaven with all of us. Won't you make that decision? Don't postpone your baptism. Go ahead. Jesus is waiting for you. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.